It's time for the birds, the bees, and the bugs, thanks to Care HQ. Very good. It's time for the birds, the bees, and the bugs, thanks to Care HQ. We've got Charlotte and Nikki in the studio. Morena team.
Morena.
How are we?
We're great, thank you.
We're good.
Reunited? Yeah. The whole gang's back together again?
Yes. I miss you.
Who approved Nikki's leave, honestly?
You. We're very excited today. We're dispelling some myths about herpes, which I feel like there's a lot of misinformation out there and a lot of stigma,
right? Yeah.
Almost maybe of all the STIs, like, maybe the most, would you say?
I think so.
Mm. Yeah. And I think a lot of that is connected to this idea that if you have an illness or an infection that has no cure, that's it. Yeah. It's life-ending. Right. It's all over. And I think that maybe is why this one carries so much additional speculation and stigma and things because of that, when really it's perfectly manageable.
A skin condition.
And lots of people get it, and anyone can get it, right?
Yeah. I think there's a myth that only certain sorts of people can get herpes, which is so not true. Anybody who ever has sexual contact can get herpes.
Yeah.
If you kiss somebody, you know, who carries a cold sore on their face, you potentially can pass that on to somebody else. And that's the herpes virus. If you get it on your genitals, it's a herpes, you know, it's cold sore, basically. Yeah. It's not about being clean, dirty, good, bad. It's just being part of sexual activity, basically. And it's super, super common. It comes in two kind of types, really. HSV-1 can cause cold sores on the face, and up to 80% of the population has this.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, you know, huge, huge numbers of people.
Definitely. Yeah.
So cold sores on the face and genital herpes, same thing or different?
Well, there's two strains of the virus. So the virus, the herpes virus, is what we call HSV, and there's HSV 1 and 2. And I think with the rise or changes in sexual trends, so a trend more so for oral sex, what used to happen was that one strain would be on this part of the body and the other strain would be on this part of the body.
Yeah.
But because we're all mixing and we don't necessarily
mingling. Mingling. Mingling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we enjoy our mingling.
We do. Sorry, back to herpes.
It can be present on either, so it can be genital or cold sores. But it's the same viruses within the same family. Yeah, two strains within the same family. And it just honestly depends on where that cold sore is present versus where you are, which part of the body you're touching, kissing.
Yeah, where it lands.
Where it lands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Most people have no symptoms.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they are unaware that they have it. And 80% of people who get it from partners who didn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's important to, we talked about this before, that's important to in terms of myths to dispel, is I think people think you can only contract herpes when you have a huge raging flaring outbreak and there's blisters and we're feeling awful. And almost as though somebody would choose to have sex when they're feeling that way, and so therefore it's intentionally, quote unquote, passed on.
Yeah, you don't want to weaponize it.
No, God, no. And as Nikki says, most people don't know they have it. It's just passed through skin-to-skin contact. And whether or not you have an outbreak, that isn't the gold standard of, okay, I do have herpes. You could just carry the virus.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Quite easily.
In terms of finding out, so the only way you'd really normally find out you have it is if you had symptoms, because we're not usually testing for herpes, right?
No. It's not part of a routine STI screen. It's usually somebody will present with some painful blisters. Usually the first time your body ever sees it is going to be
the worst.
The worst. So if you you go to your GP or you phone Care HQ, or you go to sexual health, often people will have a crop of painful blisters. Or they might just say it's hurting and it stings and they haven't actually looked. That's often the worst that it will be. So if you ever got a recurrence, it's not generally going to feel like that again.
No.
Because your body deals with it really effectively. Mm-hmm. So if you were going to get a recurrence, which not everybody does, the recurrences tend to be way, way more mild than that initial outbreak.
Oftentimes the virus might start to flare as a recurrence and your body will just burn through it because it's already dealt with it before.
It's seen it.
It's like anything, the first time we see something, bacterial, infection, whatever, viral, your body reacts really strongly. And after that, when it sees it subsequent times, we've got antibodies, we've got protection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for people who are living with herpes and have sort of flare-ups, because it goes dormant and then can flare up at different times, what's the sort of recommended route for helping deal with any sort of pain or symptoms?
It's a really good medication.
Yeah.
Valacyclovir. So that would be, if somebody was having recurrences, we would say speak to your GP about a management plan. But there is a really good medication. With the symptoms, often you get a bit of a warning sign. So you might feel a tingling, whether that's genital or an oral cold sore that's brewing, you'll have a tingling feeling. If we get onto the medication at that point, often we can stop an outcrop of blisters from occurring.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah,
so you do
pretty
it from,
amazing.
Like, the minute you think, oh,
yeah.
So
if you ever think, like, oh, maybe, jump on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, if you were quite sore, then you could do some salt water bathing, paracetamol, and Panadol. The other thing, if it's a bit sore, to pass urine. So sometimes, especially if it's the first outbreak, you can get some warm water in a jug. And when, especially for people with vaginas, when you're doing a wee on the toilet, just pour warm water or pee in a warm bath. Just can help with that discomfort as well.
The only time anyone would tell you to pee in the bath.
Well, exactly. It's not general information.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Maybe we could talk a little bit about managing herpes while in relationships, because we've had a couple of people talk about experiences in the text with it sort of being quite hard to manage when you've got outbreaks and you're in relationships, or not knowing whether you should be talking about it with a new sexual partner if you're not symptomatic.
Yeah.
Thank you for texting people. That's
We really appreciate
that. Thank you for sharing your experiences. We care.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is when we go back to this every episode, don't we? It's just about talking. But the more we talk about it, if we think about what Nikki said, you know, 80% of the people carry the virus. If we just freely disclosed every now and then, hey, look, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I've got, and someone else feels the same, how reassuring is that?
Yeah.
And we've certainly talked to patients who have said, oh, you know, I had this diagnosis, I went home, I told my flatmates, and 2 out of 3 also have herpes, and I just felt so relieved. So it's so good when people... No. And I think that's part of it in terms of, for some people, this can feel like a really life-dominating event. And they might think, right, every subsequent person who I go on a date with, talk to, anything, I've got to disclose this huge piece of information. They might judge me and my life's over. No, definitely not.
It doesn't define you.
No.
Yeah, and I guess just making sure when you are broaching it that there's no stigma coming from the other person as well, and that you're on the same page about your understanding of what the reality of the situation is, which is that it's not actually that deep.
It's a skin condition, a manageable skin condition. I think just having those open and honest conversations with facts. I think a lot of the stigma comes from people's fear, really, of not really knowing what it is. You know, I think I think if you just describe it in the terms that it's a cold sore, just not on your mouth. Hopefully that just kind of eases people's kind of concerns and worries.
And condoms do reduce the likelihood of transmission. They don't completely resolve it, but they do reduce it. So there's ways that we can protect ourselves as well. And I think, I think if we're in a long-term relationship and we feel safe to disclose those things, and as Nikki says, we talk about it in really factual terms, given how many people in the population have herpes, this is just a part and parcel of a sexual life.
And lots of people in long-term relationships choose not to continually use condoms. You know, if one person has... openly discuss that they have the herpes virus, it doesn't mean that you can never have sex without a condom. I mean, you could just probably, if you've got an outbreak, avoid sexual contact then, just because you know, if you had...
It's probably not going to feel good anymore.
It's not going to be very comfortable, probably.
Yeah. Or fun.
Or fun. But, you know, you reduce the risk of transmission if you wait till your outbreak's gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, life can just go on as normal.
Mm.
Speaking of long-term relationships, there's a bit of a stupid myth that people with herpes can't have kids. That's completely not true. Yes,
absolutely. No. It doesn't make any difference to fertility at
totally.
All. I think, there's lots of these myths that go around, I think, and that kind of fuels the fire a little
bit. It does,
But it's not true. The only time that it potentially could be a problem, I mean, it's not a problem in a huge way.
It's manageable.
But if you got your very first outbreak of herpes when you were almost at delivery, that would have to be managed by the doctors and nurses in your delivery team. And it there's great treatment to help. So it's not, you know, it really is not true.
I remember speaking to a patient once in practice, and it was a few patients who were younger, and they were saying, oh, there's this rumour going around school that if you have chlamydia three times...
Oh, just the three.
Three times.
Like saying
third
Bloody
time.
Mary in the
what, you explode or something.
Your womb just shrivels up.
Yeah.
Drops out.
That's all over. You can't have children. Yeah. So, yeah, I think these myths are so prevalent.
But that's why it's so important to talk about it, because, you end up being able to have a laugh about it.
Exactly.
Should we finish with a bit of a fun fact?
Yes.
I didn't know that 50% of cats have herpes.
They do.
But different, different to human.
It is a different
herpes.
Yeah, it is a different. I think all animals have their own kind of strain of herpes.
Wow.
I just picked cats because lots of our colleagues have cats.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I thought I'd you know, pass that information on.
If you have herpes, then chances are your cat might too.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a 50% chance.
Yeah.
And you love your cat, so we can all.
Well, exactly.
That's true.
I just want to add about the New Zealand Herpes Foundation,
which is
just a phenomenal place to start. So I think they offer, there's a helpline if you are struggling, you know, and you want to talk to somebody, then they are fantastic. You can also go to your sexual health clinic. They have health advisors that can talk you through it, because I think it can be quite tricky to kind of get your head around it sometimes, and people often do need a bit of support. So please reach out. Care HQ can help, GP practice can help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not alone if you feel like you need some support.
Yeah, yes. And just some guidance on how to navigate conversations after that.
And some myths versus facts, you know, because I think it's quite important to dispel these myths.
There's plenty of options out there in terms of both medical treatment if you are having a flare-up, but also just mental health resources and support. So definitely check out the New Zealand Herpes Foundation. They're working to make New Zealand the best place in the world to have herpes.
Yeah, which we love.
I like this campaign that they've got going.
Good.
It's cool.
It's really good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. I always learn so much on the birds, the bees and the bugs. Thank you, Charlotte and Nikki.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, Care HQ.
That was The Birds, the Bees and the Bugs, only on 95 BFM.